G'day Limestone Coasters, welcome to another catch-up. Here's what happened this morning on the Limestone Coast Triple M.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing
Hugh and Grant for breakfast on Triple M.
And a big good morning to you wherever you are across the region. Hopefully the start of your day is going very, very well. Hopefully your weekend was a great one as well. I know for a fact that I got to catch up with a couple of mates on the weekend. A friend of mine was celebrating his birthday. Huge happy birthday, by the way. I won't name him because he's just going to get really embarrassed. But it was a fantastic event, going out to dinner, catching up with friends. One of the other things that took place on the weekend, everybody knew about it. There was a wedding going on. It was somebody famous. We might talk a little bit more about it across the morning this morning.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
Victorian councils are auditing libraries, schools and kindergartens. The reason that they're doing this is to put a ban on the terms boys and girls. Now, I'm all for gender equality. I'm all for gender fluidity. But in certain circumstances, I think the world has gone just a little bit crazy. And I do not necessarily understand why we need to ban the terms boys and girls in a bid to teach kids as young as three to have gender equality and gender equitable relationships. It just does my head in. I would love to know what you guys think of it. Luke this morning was talking all about it, and it was one of the huge things that that people were talking about across the nation on the night shift. You can always have your say, of course, on 13 2017. You can always jump online and have your say via the Triple M Limestone Coast Facebook page as well. But it's one of the stories that you are going to hear more about across the day today, and it's going to be it's going to be a story that polarizes opinions. I can guarantee that as well.
The Limestone Coasts 963 Triple M.
It is your local 963 Triple M. Karch is going to join us soon, keeping us up to date with the things that we need to know around the Limestone Coast. Further afield, though, one of the interesting things that's come up in the news this morning, and I was absolutely fascinated when I read the statement, Aboriginal settlement in Australia was no accident, but a result of large-scale migration by skilled maritime explorers. Now, I'm trying to find out a little bit more about this. It's apparently something that's come up from a researcher or several researchers over the course of the last couple of months. But I'm trying to find out more at the moment because I find it absolutely fascinating. I find it fascinating that we are part of a nation that has a shared history of more than 40 or 50,000 years. It blows my mind.
The Limestone Coasts 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. I tell you what, over the course of the weekend, there was joy and tribulation at a royal wedding. But before that happened, a couple of things went on in the news, and they are still dominating the news at the moment. One of the events that took place that that I suppose rocked the world was in Cuba. There was a plane crash, the worst aviation disaster in three decades in Cuba. The crash killed 110 people. Now, three incredibly lucky survivors, if you can call them that, are currently clinging to life, apparently still this morning. One of the other things that took place over the course of the weekend was a mass shooting in America, and speechless is probably the word for what I would describe seeing the news that another mass shooting had taken place in America. And just doing a little bit of research this morning, and I don't know whether you know this at all, but there have been 101 mass shootings in the United States so far in 2018. This is only 2018. So we're only talking 20 weeks. The first 20 weeks of 2018 have seen 101 mass shootings in the United States. And I know we live in Australia, and I know that we have some of the best gun laws in the world. And I know that I'm talking about something that's happening on the other side of the world that we probably don't care an awful lot about. But you've got to wonder about 101 mass shootings. There have been 22 school shootings in just 20 weeks in America. This is why it dominates the news across the globe, that that a nation can think that that this sort of stuff can go on without ramifications, without somebody deciding to change the way that that weapons are handed out in America. It amazes me. It upsets me. It's heartbreaking to think that that so many people have lost their lives for no good reason than the fact that gun laws can't be changed in America. It's just, it's a story that's going to dominate once again, and it's a tragedy that that we have to talk about it across the globe. Today,
you and Grant
for breakfast.
Now on 963 Triple M, I'm going to talk more about the royal wedding later on today because, well, me, like 1.9 billion other people, I was glued to the television set. It was absolutely amazing. I laughed, I cried, I went, ooh and ah. But the main points of the wedding have been revealed, apparently. And, well, the top four have got to be Meghan's arrival at the chapel, the page boy's grin that stole the show as the procession made its way down the aisle of the church, the preacher, the power of love. Boy, was he an amazing preacher. I want to talk more about that man later on today because I just thought that was absolutely sensational. And of course, the heart-tugging moment of the entire thing has got to be Meghan Markle's mum, who cried as her daughter tied the knot to a royal. How awesome is that? She was the only member of the family that was there. And what bravery, what resilience. That woman is fierce. I just think she deserves a whole host of congratulations for being so so amazing at an event that the entire world was watching.
The Limestone Coast's 963 Triple M.
On 963 Triple M, got to wait till the voiceover guy finishes what he's saying. On 963 Triple M, a big good morning to you wherever you are across the Limestone Coast. A special good morning to the Fieries because, well, it wasn't until this morning that I realised that firefighters and ambulance workers and probably the police have a very, very interesting job. And they have a more interesting job since the likes of 50 Shades of Grey came out in bookstores and on our TV screens. It seems the world is getting a little interesting when it comes to our bedroom activities. Let's put it that way for a starter. And apparently, those bedroom activities are becoming so interesting that the German fire services have decided that they need to have special days where they train their fire officers how to get people out of trouble when they get into trouble in their bedrooms. Apparently, 600 firefighters went through a training course to rescue men from sex toy emergencies. 600 firefighters given lessons on how to remove rings and other things that get stuck in unfortunate places. I'm sorry for laughing. I'm so sorry for laughing. But on 963 Triple M, imagine that, coming home from a weekend away where you've been working very, very hard and you say to the wife, this is what I've been learning how to do. 50 Shades of Grey has got a lot to answer for. And it proves, if nothing else, that we are becoming more adventurous in certain places.
The Limestone Coast's 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. Sergeant Andy Stodd joins me from SAPOL. Andy, good morning.
G'day, Ewan.
Andy, it's been a while since we talked about the ICE forums, but they're not that far away.
21st of May for Mount Gambier's forum at the Sir Robert Helpman Theatre. A 7 o'clock start, so if people get there about half past six. Bearing in mind, last time we had this in 2015, we turned away 250 people from that first forum, so it was obviously seen as a popular subject, and we're offering similar quality speakers to talk about the current situation, and we're hoping that members of our community will come along, speak to or listen to our speakers, and then also maybe ask questions of our panel that will be there answering questions for half an hour or so after the speakers. So again, Sir Robert Helpman Theatre, 6:30 for 7 o'clock start, finishes at 9, two good speakers, Professor Robert Arley and Dr. Chris Holmwood of DASA, Drug and Alcohol Services South Australia, and good speakers and interesting subjects. And also, Bordertown on the 28th of May, the similar sort of roundup. Dr. Chris Holmwood will be addressing the community, and that forum starts again 6:30 for 7 o'clock start at the Civic Centre, and it'll finish at 9 o'clock.
Andy, what's the focus of the forums?
It's about resilience and helping our community to deal with these situations. And it's also, we've called it the ICE update because we sort of want to get people speed, but that's not a very good term, up to date as far as where things are with regard to ICE use in our community and all drugs for that matter. And we've seen and still continue to see alcohol being the most problematic drug of all, but other drugs are also causing problems. Again, ice is fairly significant in that area.
Andy, for people who would like to go to either of the forums here in Mount Gambier or up in Bordertown, do they need to book?
No, they can't book. Don't need to book. Just turn up and maybe turn up a little bit earlier to guarantee a seat.
Andy, we will catch up and talk again very soon. Thanks for joining us this morning, mate.
Thank you, Ewan.
On Node 63 Triple M, I was talking to Andy last week, which is how the interview came about. And, of course, the Ice Forum is on tonight. If you'd like to go along, Sir Robert Hopman Theatre is when it's taking place, the one in Bordertown in a few days' time.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. There's a lot of things that have taken place over the course of the weekend. The Royal Wedding has got to be the biggie. But other things have been let slip, so to speak. Donald Trump was doing some tweeting on the weekend, which I suppose is nothing new for Donald Trump, let's face it. But Donald was tweeting about his wife, who had undergone a kidney procedure over the course of the weekend. And he is probably very, very lucky that something like a royal wedding was on, because 1.9 billion people were watching that, and they weren't necessarily watching his tweets, because during the tweet where he updated his wife's kidney procedure, he managed to get the First Lady's name wrong. Oops. On 963 M, it's one of the big stories of the day, and it's something that gave me a little bit of a chuckle this morning, obviously. Going back to the royal wedding, 1.9 billion people can't be wrong. I was one of them. So were a number of my mates. We were all watching the royal wedding and the Duke and Duchess of Sussex as they sealed their kiss on the steps of the chapel. It was a monumental moment. The dress looked amazing. There were some standouts from the ceremony itself, which was totally, utterly nothing like we have seen at royal weddings before. And Bishop Michael Curry, that is the guy's name, by the way, the preacher, we all know the one I'm talking about, Bishop Michael Curry, my goodness, he had a show-stealing sermon. A couple of times I wondered where he was going. I'm pretty sure he probably wondered where he was going as well. But overall, the message of his sermon was all about love. Now, as the royal wedding took place, there were a number of other things that that got people talking. James Blunt was savaged by a woman on social media who wrote, "Who invited you to the wedding?" James Blunt, in his normal sarcastic style, got back on Twitter and had a little bit of an exchange with this lady, saying, "I'll give you two guesses." Now, it works out that James Blunt, the man who bought us a number of beautiful songs over the course of a number of years, actually served with Harry in the armed services. A Sydney seamstress has created headlines because she had a recreation of Megan's royal gown in approximately 10 hours. Now, that has got to be some serious work. And there's been a lot of talk about the seat at St. George's Chapel that was deliberately left empty, as no one is allowed to sit in front of the Queen. There were a lot of people who thought that it was a tribute to Princess Diana, and a lot of our TV commentators got online. And I got to admit, being a TV commentator has got to be very hard in a live situation like that. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't put my foot in my mouth in a number of occasions while doing it, but a lot of the commentators said it was empty as a nod to Harry and William's mum, the late Princess Diana. But as I say, the reason was no one's allowed to sit in front of the Queen. Now, 963 Triple M, it was a fantastic affair. I must admit, I thought it was amazing to watch all the pomp and ceremony, to see the things that Harry and Meghan did differently in their wedding. And compared to other royal weddings, my goodness, was it a different wedding. And as I say, 1.9 billion people on the planet cannot be wrong. It's amazing to think that many people were glued to a television set.
Triple M Rocks, Limestone Coast local sport. Thanks to Harvey Norman, Mount Gambier.
It is time for us to talk a whole heap of sport from around the Limestone Coast. Milo is in my studio. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, Ewan. Good morning, fellow coast. And sports-wise, it was a real bag of licorice all sorts, something for everybody on the weekend.
There was. It was massive.
It was, all over, keeping warm and out of the weather. And that's how it goes. Now, Friday night, Cassette Rural Pioneers, they're, of course, in Tassie, and they went down in the last play, a real rip-snorter of a game. The Hobart Chargers beat them 108 to 106, and our starting five, because of injury situation, etc., down to a skeleton squad. Tim Conrad with 39 points and 5 rebounds, Eric Burden 15 points, Luke Jamison 14 and 7, and Lewis Thomas against his old side put in a big one, 25 and 8. And obviously they had a good break and recovery, and suited up again Saturday night. And Northwest Tassie Thunder got the jump on them, and it was catch up, and the Pioneers went down 87 to 77. Tim Conrad again, 21 points and 9 rebounds, and Lewis Thomas, very consistent season so far, 20 and 14. And Eric Burden under a bit of an injury situation apparently going in, and he was still on target with 17. And the news, we'll catch up with Richard Hill later on this morning. Stay tuned. And the next game will be this Friday night at the Ice House against Canberra, if the flight is all go, of course. And they sit bottom of the ladder without a win. So let's hope the boys can get some players back and have a good win there in front of the local crowd cheering them on. Mm. Super 6 Western Border footy. Caston Sanford had a really tough physical affair against West Gambia, and they won that by 18 points. And Callum Curry, 4 goals for the Cats, and he's averaging that for every game. He sits on top of the goal kicking with 24, and I reckon he's probably leading the Brian Hennessy medal at this stage as well. West Gambia's Brad Wilson, the coach, kicked 3 goals. Interesting note, the best player for Caston was Angus Cleary, who would have taken on the ruck duties, because gun recruit Will McDonald via the Bay, ex-Cats boy, he's still out, and there's been rumours that he's out for the season, but my news is he's got a bit of a chest injury, and he'll be back for the big blockbuster at Island Park this Saturday versus East Gambia. Reigning premiers are starting to get their best side back together. Talking East, they defeated North Gambia by 26, and both those sides are starting to get their act together, and they still have a few key players out, but time will tell. East, Matty McCallum with 3 goals, and North Gambia, Tom McLennan, probably best game I've seen the big fella play, kicked 6 out of 10, and he picked up the Carlton Dry polo shirt as a valuable player, and that's compliments to Commercial and CUB rep Ricky Dalby. The Militant scoreline was good enough to defeat South Gambia by 8 goals, but South had a red-hot dip, and it was a good tussle early. For Militant, the SNFL Community Footy Grand Poobah, Matthew Doldy, who travels down from Adelaide, ex-local boy, 6 goals, so he's on target. Not to be outdone, matching that was Braden Kane from South with 6 goals as well. And while on South Gambia, congratulations to former player Sam Walker. He made his league debut with Gunnedah against Adelaide on Saturday, so we'll keep an eye on his progress. Now, just talking West Gambia and South Gambia, West have a past players and officials function this weekend, and the guest speaker will be Brownlow medalist Johnny Platten, the Rat, so that'll be entertaining. All those details are on their Facebook site, or contact the club, of course. And likewise, South Gambia having their traditional Rump and Red Night, and Sammy Kegovich will be the guest speaker, and he'll keep them entertained that Saturday night. Likewise, all the details on their Facebook site, or contact the club. Turning to Mid-South East footy, and Port Mac, big win in terms of the final four down the track. They defeated Tantanoola by 37 points. Scott Ender with 3 goals for the Bay, while for the Tigers it was 2 from Jordan Williams leading the pack. And good to see coach of the Bay, Ben McGregor, back to his very best name, best and perhaps best on ground in that game. Mount Burr, they took on Hatherley for a rematch of last year's grand final and won that by 10 points. So a bit of excitement there, no doubt. And Robe, who I'm calling Prince Alfred College Old Scholars number 2. They defeated a very credible Congrong by 61 points, who were right in that game up until the third quarter. Now, Robe, Jake Pitt, 6 goals, and Craig Pitt, 4. And they lead the goal kicking with 30 apiece. So that's a bit of an interesting tussle between the brothers there. And for Congrong, it was 4 goals to John Simkin. Now, Glencoe defeated Nangwari by 150. 58 points to take out the Phil Mahomes Memorial Cup. And the medalist in that game was a Nangwari player. Well done, Aaron Heron there. 8 goals. Clay Von Duby for Glencoe. Might be a family record there. We'll no doubt be clarifying that. The big league, K&T, Round 7, Mundalla defeated Lucendale by 70 points. And the reigning premiers, Lucendale, have lost their last three, but they've got quite a few key players out. Mundalla, Heath Thorpe with 6 goals, and 5 goals, Tommy Logan for Lucendale. And good to see ex-coach Sam Logan back for his second game and got named best player. Bordertown, in a low-scoring affair, defeated Kingston by 23 points. Jonty Searle with 3 goals for the Roosters, and for the Saints, it was Ben Warner with 2. And Keith, they defeated Colby Burlock by 41 points. Ben Simons there for Keith with 7 goals. And Panola, still undefeated, defeated Narracourt up the track by 35 points. So well done to the Eagles, going along nicely. And in the lucky last, KLU, the Cougars, defeated Padaway by 63 points. Cameron Hitchcock, 5. Likewise, Cameron Visser and coach Nick Murphy with 4. And for Padaway, it was Thomas Edwards with 3. We'll have a break and we'll come back later on with much, much more sport.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 Triple M.
One of the things that I've missed out on over the last couple of days, so while I've been away, and I am very remiss for missing it out, because a lady who has been no stranger to the Triple M Brekkie Show over the course of at least 2 decades that I know of is Janice Nitschke. Now, she is the manager of libraries and cultural services with the Wattle Range Council. She does an incredible job of promoting the Limestone Coast region, which is how we get to talk to her on the Brekkie Show on a very regular basis. And during the course of last week, she celebrated an outstanding achievement, 50 years of service to the local community of the Wattle Range Council. And I, for one, wanted to say an absolutely huge congratulations to Janice for reaching 50 years. My goodness, that is just an amazing achievement for anybody. But as the Wattle Range Council have talked about, Janice's passion, her dedication, her innovation to libraries, to the wider southeast, she has earned so many accolades, so much praise and so much admiration from people not only here in the Limestone Coast, but from further afield right the way across the country and probably across the globe. She is a wonderful ambassador, a passionate Limestone Coast resident, and we love chatting to her on the radio. So a big congratulations to her, 50 years of service. It all took place last week. There's some social posts about it on Facebook if you would like to find out a little bit more. But congratulations, Janice, on an amazing achievement.
The Limestone Coast's 963 Triple M. Triple M rocks Limestone Coast local sport, thanks to Harvey Norman Mount Gambier.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. We are talking sport, and we've kept you up to date with what's going on in the world of footy. We're going to talk a little bit of netty and a lot more.
You won't forget the girls. Go girls. North Gambier in the Western Border Super 6, 63, defeated East Gambier 54. Millicent 81, top of the Roost, defeated South Gambier 54. And West Gambier 53, defeated Caston Sanford 50. And Lisa McGregor again in the best players. And could she be heading for a second medal? Early days. And well done, Abby Shannon, named best player for the Cats. She's our netty segment commentator. Now, mid-season netty, Tandanula 63 defeated Port Max 45. Mount Burr 51 lost to Hatherley 66. Clickety-click. Glencoe 88 defeated Nangwari 50. And Congrong on a roll. 2 wins in a row, the girls. They defeated the Robe Roosters 58-41. So no doubt looking for next week's game. Now, Carrie Narracourt, Tadiara Netball, good morning. Narracourt, round 7. Lucendale second on the ladder, 62. Reigning Premiers, they defeated Mundalla 8th in a tight one, 57. Bordertown 63 defeated Kingston 45. And Keith is still undefeated, 53, defeating Colby Bowlight 36. And in the final 5 game, Narracourt 62 defeated the Panola Eagles up the road 42. And in the first round of the Wooden Spoon fight out, KLU United 75 defeated Padaway 48. Won't forget Mount Gambier Netball, and Zodiac 60 defeated Amazons 20. Vicky 62 defeated Lakes 28. Intruders 44, too good for Saints 40 in a close one. And Nomads 15 lost to Hobbits 61. Talking soccer or football, and Limestone Coast, the boys in the seniors, Central 7 defeated Portland 1. Coach of Central's Nathan Fleetwood with 3 goals there. Blue Lake 2 defeated Apollo 1. And in a goal feast, Narracourt 13, lucky for some, defeated Millicent, no score. A Dement with 8 and J Fulton with 3 there. And in the girls' soccer, Bendigo Bank, of course, are their sponsor. And in the under-15s, it was United 1, going down to Apollo City in a big way, 11. Evany Rex 3, Alex Jolly 3, and Lara Jolly with 2 goals there. And Central's 11 defeated Millicent Zip, and it was Kia Connolly there with 3, along with Olivia Gwillam and Ellie Seaton snuck through too. And well done, Sheridan Sackers. I wonder where she gets her ability from. She snuck a goal through as well. Good morning, Eddie. And in the seniors, United 4, they defeated Apollo City Zip. And Central 6, Tracy Long on target there with 3. They defeated Portland 1. And Wanderers lost to Millicent 1 Zip. Now, a quick look at the cycling, of course, and as we heard on the news, it was Adelaide cyclist Jared Drinners who picked up the two big ones, $2,000, winning the 100-mile classic there, sponsored by Squashbrook Fitness and Leisure. And Jazz Martin, a winner from away, took out the women's classic, of course. But in terms of locals, on Saturday, well done, Jack Patzel. He was the first local to cross the line, and fastest local was Angus Madden. Now, yesterday it was Hamilton cleaning up the junior events, so they're obviously having a great competition that they can come over from. And of course, locals in the Kermes, it was Amy White third in the 17 women's, Jack Opperman third in the 17 men, and it was Tess White first in the 15 women. So well done to you, Tess, and Harry Opperman third in the 15 men. And in the junior classic, sponsored by Max Sheet Medal on Saturday, the first local. Well done, Prue Riddock there. Just looking at South East Coast basketball in the men, Panthers 62 defeated Cougars 50. Bulldogs 75 defeated the other Bulldogs team, Red 68. So they picked pretty even sides there. And in the women's, Cougars 80 defeated Bulldogs 36. And Panthers 65 defeated Cats 64. And in the other men's game, down the bottom, Cats 84. They defeated Roos 80. And we'll talk to Bess Searle on Wednesday morning, of course. We won't forget the GG's Yui, of course. And it was all at Castleton yesterday. No doubt it would have been an interesting day with the weather. But well done, Patch Adams. The roughie got up, paid $23.10. So there'll be some happy people around over there, trained by Terry and Karina O'Sullivan and ridden by Christine Poulsen.
Triple M Rocks, Limestone Coast local sport. Thanks to Harvey Norman, Mount Gambier.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. We are talking Pioneers basketball. Hilly is on the line. Milo is back in the studio.
Yes, of course. A big weekend for the Pioneers. Started Friday night. They took on the Chargers over there in Tassie, and down to the last play, and the Chargers got up 108 to 106. Coach Richard Hill, good morning. Right in it to the end.
Yeah, tough weekend for us, Milo. That game against Hobart was there for the taking. We didn't have much go for us, let's be perfectly honest. And, we had some pretty poor calls down the stretch, which tends to happen sometimes on away courts. Guys busted their butt all night, and it was a great game. All due credit to Hobart, they played really well as well, and just couldn't get it done in the end.
Talking big minutes, too, the starting five were on the court nearly all night. Tim Conrad, he couldn't do any more, 39 and 5 rebounds. Eric Burden, and apparently he was under a bit of a cloud with 15. Luke Jamison, 14 and 7. And Lewis Thomas, he had a red-hot dip in front of the old home crowd, 25-8. So no doubt the boys slept very well, recharged and refueled. And then it was Northwest Tassie Thunder and... they jumped you, and it was catch-up basketball, and they got you 87-77. So, obviously, still worked hard to bridge that gap.
Yeah, look, that was, they were really good, Northwest Tassie. They defended the heck out of us. We were in good shape early. Just couldn't put the ball in the basket. Amazingly, we were 22 down with 7 minutes to go, and got it back to four. We made 5 threes in a row. Got it back to four with 40 seconds and then blew it. But we made a couple of really bad mistakes in the last couple of possessions. So, incredible comeback for a group of guys that have been on court 2 nights in a row. We're close to 40 minutes, all of them. So, They showed enormous amount of character, but just weren't quite good enough to get over the line, Milo.
The Kaztec Pioneers sit 12th in a team of 16, 3-5. The percentage is good, but the wins is what it's all about. Tim Conrad 21-9, and Eric Burden on target again with 17, and Lewis Thomas consistent weekend 20-14 rebounds. Now, no new injuries, coach.
Caden DeWitt hurt his ankle in the Hobart game, which really hurt us. Like he rolled his ankle early in the game and was only able to play 12 minutes or so. He had a terrific game. It was his 100th game on Saturday night in Northwest Tassie, and he strapped up and played big minutes there as well. So that was a bit of an impediment for us, but he had a great weekend, particularly playing his 100th game. So he played really well. Unfortunately, that was a circumstance we could have done without as well.
Now, the Commercial Street chatter tells me that the club had come to an agreement with Majok Denk and he's been released. So is that the case?
There'll be an announcement in the next sort of 24 hours there. He's still not able to get on court. He has some commitments that we'd agreed to let him go to in June for some NBA camps. And that, coupled with the fact that we can't get him on court at the moment, we sort of mutually agreed it made a lot of sense for him to focus on getting right for that. So he wouldn't have even been able to qualify for playoffs for us. So we're very close to having not necessarily a replacement, but another player coming in, which we should be able to tidy up in the next sort of 24, 48 hours.
Well, let's hope we have a turn of luck. Now, there's 11 games to go. You need 8 to qualify for finals. Is that right, Richard?
I reckon you're pretty spot on, Milo. We're hoping to get that other game up our sleeve, the Nunawading game, but who knows what's going to happen there. Our position, if we can win our next two, we'll be even pegged at 5-5 going into the June long weekend, which I think would be a great result for us. And then from there, we just need to win more than we lose coming home. So I don't think it's disastrous at the moment, but we've certainly had no luck at all. We've been playing with the skeleton staff, and hopefully Tommy Daly and the guys can get back on court very shortly.
Okay, we'll have a chat Friday morning because, of course, if the flights all go, we'll take on Canberra, who haven't had a win. Good luck with the week, and we'll chat on Wednesday, on Friday morning, Hilly.
Yeah, good on you, Milo. Take care. Have a good week, you guys. See ya.
Triple M. Loves Panola.
The Limestone Coast 963. Triple M. The Limestone Coast 963. Triple M. I tell you what, a happy man is on the line. Pity from Arena Sports Store. Good morning, mate.
Morning, Yui. Yep. Only happens once every now and then, but anyhow, make the most of it.
Maybe once a year?
Yeah, although it took so long last year, too.
Now, did you ever expect that was going to happen in your wildest dreams this year?
No. I thought Geelong would beat us probably by about 10 goals. I thought they'd get a run on and belt us because our form against Carlton was shocking and we've had a few out and all this rubbish. But they just turned up to play. The tackling and pressure was incredible.
Mate, I like to see your tips from Friday when you were catching up with Paul. You didn't even back the team.
No. No, I didn't have you rule from the heart, not the head rather, Yui, not the heart.
Well, mate, before we reveal how the tipping went on the weekend, I've got to say, what is going on at Arena Sports Store?
Well, nothing much changes, Yui. Winter's upon us and people have got to realise it ain't going to get any warmer. So, we've got all new seasons, trackies, hoodies. Track pants have changed a lot now, the young kids. The old square-legged trackie, they're mainly all slim fit.
Okay.
But they do look very neat rather than a baggy track pant. You can still get the baggies for us old blokes.
I was going to say, I would not look good in slim fit.
I went to the footy on the weekend and wore me Andy series at the G and Budgies.
Now, these are great, aren't they?
Yeah, I keep raving about them, but my Jesus, they are very, very good. Very, very good gear. Yeah, comfortable and warm.
What you want to do, because it's not going to get any warmer across the Limestone Coast, you want to pop in, talk to Pity and the team at Arena Sports Store today. Pity, I've got to say, you are on a roll, my friend. You are leading with your head, not with your heart, and you've made it over Ted from the weekend. 8-7, you are going great guns.
Well, I knew that had to be. There's always an upset. You can't pick 9 favourites. And mind you, I don't think many would have picked Essendon to beat Carlton, but I did think Brisbane would beat Hawthorn. Mm-hmm. They've been playing well, and Fagan and Hodge would know Hawthorn's game plan and their players back to front. So I thought, well, if ever a team will beat Hawthorn, and it was in Brisbane, it always the same as how West Coast beat Richmond in, you know, over in Perth. If that game was played on the MCG, Richmond would win that.
It's all in your knowledge. And, mate, we're going to have another crack on Friday, see how we go. Thanks for joining us, mate. You have a great week.
All right, Yui. Thanks, mate.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 Triple M.
Triple M, it is almost time for me to wander out for the day. Paul Barry's going to be back in tomorrow morning, filling in for the day, but I promise I will be back on Wednesday. Have a great day. Stay safe. The Billboard Music Awards for 2018, they get underway at about half an hour's time. We're going to find out who the winners and losers are across the day. Paul might talk a little bit about it tomorrow. And just before I go, a very cool story. The 1965 Fender Stratocaster guitar that was played by Bob Dylan as his artistic revolution from folk music to rock took place. It went to auction on the weekend, and let me tell you, it went for an incredible price. Almost $750,000. $658,996 plus commission at auction. That's not a bad price for a guitar on 963 Triple M. I gotta go. Don't forget, Ray Hadley joining us in moments. We've got news and sport next. Have a great day.